The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Yeah, away we go on a Thursday, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I feel like a little barn door talk to kick off your 4-degree morning here in the beautiful city of Milwaukee. Alex Stroph in for Jen Latta and Gabe Neitzel alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura. What are you giggling about? The barn door?
Hey, Joshy.
Yes.
Someone looks a little beat up. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
How was Rage Against the Panda Bears? Was it good?
Cage the Elephant.
Was it a good concert?
Cage the Elephant was really good, yes. Yes, I had a great time.
Cage the Elephant.
Rage Against the Panda Bears. No, that was good, Chew. That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, lots to get into this morning. We'll get to Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll get to Jordan Love. Jason Wolde will join us in about 10 minutes. Chewy, I got to be honest with you, dude.
Yeah.
I was a little bit worried you got arrested last night.
Why?
Well, I get a text from you this morning, 5:32 a.m., which, by the way, you just said, you know, I look a little beat up, 5:32 a.m. before I was awake. But, you know, I woke up, I saw a message from you, and it was just a caricature. Joshy, how'd I do that?
How about an emoji? An emoji. It was an emoji.
Of somebody behind bars.
But it was a female.
Is it? Just a bat. It looks like a bowl cut. It looks pretty general.
I didn't take note of the gender of the image you sent. It didn't to me strike me as anything to be worried about. And then when Alex Stroph texted me 30 to 40 minutes later and said, "Is Chewy in jail?" I thought to myself, you think he'd be announcing spent the night in jail with that?
Yeah, I texted Josh. I said, I'll be a few minutes past 6:30. Sorry. Also, Chewy is not in jail, correct? So I was worried that was your way of telling us you got arrested.
Hold on. Depends what you mean by jail.
Okay. Well,
all
go
right,
on.
Let me tell the story. So this is what happened.
Okay, go on.
So after our discussion yesterday, Angie has rats everywhere. There's just rats.
Uh-oh.
There's just rats that rat me out, right? So we are talking about my friend who I put in emoji jail.
Yeah.
So I had to go over. We're going to Key West. My wife's never been. And this couple is driving down. And me and Ange are flying down. So me being me, I don't want to pay the $50 for a stupid bag. So I'm like, why don't we just put our bags in their truck and get them there, right? Save a little cabbage. So I had to go over there. Me and Ange were going out to eat to celebrate our 14-year anniversary.
Congrats.
So I dropped the bag off. Thank you. So I dropped the bag off, and her husband opens the door, and I'm like this. So she just says to me, "Is Angie in the car?" and walks right by me.
Uh-oh. Like,
okay. So didn't think anything of it. Dropped the bag off. She's talking to Ange, a little cold shoulder. We go to dinner. Ange gets a text. Terry sent me the clip of your husband talking about putting me in emoji jail. Why do people get so sensitive?
Well, hold on.
You basically, time out, I'm not done. You basically on the show called me a Richard, which is a word we can't say on the, and I owned it. I said, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So the response should have been, you know, at times I probably do talk a little too much. So this is what I'm proposing.
Oh, boy.
And I don't want to do the legwork on this, but we need to have a simulated locker room for the toughening up of people who want to have thicker skin. And we can do it right at the conference room in the station. But I'm thinking, I can't do it myself, so I need people that are like me. And the only one that comes to mind right now, any guesses? He'd probably do it because he's got a lot of time on his hands.
Tausi?
No, Tausi's not even close. Tausch is way too nice
Homer.
To be a part of this. No, go deeper. You got to go deep.
I don't know, Chewy.
Josh, not with the station. He doesn't have to be affiliated with the
Frankie,
station at all.
Frankie. Frankie Winters.
Frankie! Yeah. Yes. Because you know what Frank used to say to me back in the day?
What's
something
that?
I took with me till this day when I'd get in trouble at home? I'd be like, Frank, I'm in trouble at home. You know what he'd say? Hey, Shmar, Shmar, don't worry about it. She'll get over it. And they always do. Might take a little time.
So hold on.
Is that a good model to live by?
Can we slow down for a moment? We're flying at like a million miles an hour.
This is true.
Okay. So you got the cold shoulder from said person you like to put in emoji jail.
Yes.
And now your takeaway from that is this person is soft.
Yes.
Okay. Is your wife upset with you?
No, not at all. Because my wife's tough. She's tougher than woodpecker lips.
Yeah, you've said that before, and that is a saying nobody says except Mark Shimura, as we just heard the Frankie Winters impression. Okay.
Yeah, no, my wife doesn't need any toughening up. She's tougher than me.
But the person that is going into emoji jail, your point is, needs to be tougher.
Yes.
Because they were heard you were talking, and they didn't like it.
Like, I had a great negotiation this morning with my wife.
Oh, what is going on right now? Okay, what do you mean?
Hold on, Josh. Would you explain to him, this is what I do? I'm just adding context. Yeah. I just asked for a sidebar. Mm-hmm. Yep. So the sidebar was, okay, she gets so upset with me that I don't cover my food when I put it in the microwave. Do you guys cover your food when you put it in the microwave?
I do, yes.
Yes, because it will splatter and leave things all over the microwave.
Because you know what? Let me tell you this. You know who cleans the microwave?
Also fair point.
Is that you?
You know who cleans the mic? I do. So I negotiated a trade. I said, here, very simple. You be nicer in the morning because she's meaner than a rattlesnake in the morning. And I will cover my food in the microwave. And she said, no. And I said, good. I ain't covering my food.
That's and she's not being nicer is what that means, Chew.
I know. And we're at an impasse and we'll see where it goes.
It's this is the perfect Chewy thing. Everything is a negotiation. Everything has a give and take. There is one.
That's
not the only thing. Josh, that's not the only thing. And everything has to be power right.
Yes. Am I right? Those are your foundational core beliefs. If I'm doing something, you're doing something too. If I get something, you get something. It's a great way to balance fairness, but I would have trouble just fighting it out all the time. Sometimes I would just give in, which I don't know if you're so good at.
Oh, definitely not.
No, I eventually I give in most times, but I'm not giving in on this. I'm not giving in.
You got to put
this
up the fight at first.
Yes.
You know,
exactly. All right, Alex, you can keep going.
No, well, I have a million questions for you before we get to Jason Wilder.
Okay.
Okay. First off, can you just list your daily or weekly household responsibilities? Like, what chores is Mark Chimura in charge of?
I'm in charge of cleaning. I'm in charge.
Hold on.
Planting.
What does that mean? You can't just say cleaning overall. Are you sweeping, dusting?
Clean the entire house. Clean the entire house. I'm done with cleaning people. You know, they do a great job at first, and then they get lazy, and then they stink. I can't do that. So I clean. I got time. So today's a big clean day because we're leaving here Sunday. Well, we're leaving here tomorrow to go to Key West and then from Key West back to Wisconsin. I like to come home to a clean house.
Sure.
I don't like coming. So I will, and for the last two, I section the house in 3 days. So I clean some Wednesday. No, I clean some Tuesday, clean some Wednesday, and then the final clean is today.
Okay.
So I do that.
Yep.
So I plant all the potted plants, right?
Yep.
I clean up the property, trim the palm trees,
yard work,
clean up the palm trees when they fall, yard work. I do all the shopping.
Wow.
I do all the cooking.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I do all she does is work. That's it. Basically, all she
does. Who does the laundry?
Is work. Well
this is
that's
a debate.
Up to interpretation. That's up into interpretation.
What is that? Okay.
I take that.
Interpretation,
well, I take the
first
hamper.
Off. Second off, what do you mean?
I take the hamper when it's full, bring it into the laundry room, put it in the washer. When the washer's done, I put it in the dryer.
Yep.
Then when the dryer's done, I put it in the basket and bring it into the master bathroom where she folds it. So typically, I'm doing 80% of the legwork. She's doing 20 because I can't fold clothes.
Okay. So you're doing most of the work around the house.
Yes.
So, and you clean the microwave.
Like the other day. I'll give you another one. Yeah. Alex, her car needed an oil change.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got the oil change. Her car needs to be gassed up. I go gas up the car.
So Chewy's a pretty good husband, man. I mean, you're doing a lot of the legwork.
I'm doing most of the legwork. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
don't let her hear that.
He is the retired one, so it does make a little bit of sense. Not taken away from how much you do, because you obviously do a lot, but there is a difference.
Yeah. I like that you work with him 5 days a week, and you're like, yeah, he's fully retired.
Yeah.
He just shows up here. He just shows up.
Yeah, he goes out to the back house, flicks on the thing, does 2 hours of hot
takes.
Alex, I don't
even know if I've been paid over the last handful of years.
See?
I have no idea. I don't know my password for ADP, ADT.
ADP. You had it right. Something. Yep. You had it right.
ADP. Yeah. No idea. I don't know. See? I have no idea. So, I don't even know how to check that.
But as we're discussing, it seems like you're kind of a get bleep done guy, right? Like you're walking around your house. You're cleaning. You're doing doing all the upkeep. But you've waited 4 years to get a password? To check, hey, by the way, I'm doing this morning show 5 days a week. No matter where I am, I'm doing this morning show. You just don't care that you're getting paid?
Well, here's the important thing. It's when you include technology,
that's where Ange
has to step in.
Oh, gotcha.
So unless she's doing the technology stuff, she's just not going to know.
So I assume the fact that I get a W-2 that I get paid.
That would be a good assumption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. So
once I stop getting a W-2, I'll be like,
so,
what's going on
here? Hold on. Let's get back to the root of the story. Is this person still going in emoji jail if it's necessary?
Yeah. Are you going to be a little hesitant if there's a situation in Key West where someone needs to be put in emoji jail? Are you going to be emoji jail shy?
No, not at all.
Oh,
because her husband
angry
wants me to put her in emoji jail. Angry. Because angry's like me. He's just like, you don't need to talk to fill time. You can just sit around and look and watch.
Sure.
Yeah. Because
people
Key West, that there's some solid people watching in Key
very
West.
Good people.
Are
you and have you or will you comment to the snitch, the person who reported back? And from what you made it sound like, sent a video clip of you talking about
emoji jail.
She went on our website, and I guess you do something where you can forward what we said mm-hmm. and send it to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She went on our website.
She'll be dealt with.
YouTube and sent the...
Oh, sure.
Okay. She'll be dealt with. She'll be dealt with.
What do you mean by that? What does dealt with mean?
I'll probably embarrass her at some point in time.
What about putting her in emoji jail?
In front of a group. Nah, that wouldn't work.
Okay.
It wouldn't work. It only works for...
Yeah, you got to know
certain
your
individuals.
Audience.
Yeah.
For Angry's wife, you know?
For Angry's
but
wife.
She's a BSer because I think she likes being put in emoji jail.
See, now this
so
is where the story starts to crumble.
Yeah. I'm losing you.
Clearly, if someone was upset about you talking about her putting in emoji jail,
she doesn't like it.
Doesn't seem to love emoji jail.
Yeah, but she loves communicating through emoji.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
I think I'm over it.
Like, that wasn't the only emoji. That was the last emoji she sent yesterday. She sent about 8 of them. Ones I've never seen because I don't have them on my phone.
Yes, you do. You just don't know how to use them.
You've lost me. I'm lost. Yeah. It's all right, though.
Not a deep enough thinker, too.
Yeah, but I think the real point, Joshy, is Alex was late to the meeting today.
Mm-hmm.
As a substitute teacher,
yep.
And he was late to the meeting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. In all my years playing in Green Bay, where there were consequences to being late to meetings, I have never been late to a meeting.
All right.
Ever.
Chew, I will allow you to implement a punishment if you'd like.
Okay.
And I
got to think about it.
Yeah, you can think about it. I'll give you time. I need to agree to it. We let's not do the show naked or anything like that, but
we'll see about that.
I'm willing to participate in whatever punishment you seem fit for me being 10 okay. minutes delayed to our show meeting this morning. By the way, Chew, enjoy Florida, brother. It's 4 degrees here in Milwaukee. So for all of you.
I know. It's 62 here. I have a sweatshirt on, and I'm freezing.
You poor guy.
Nearly 60 degrees difference.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
and by the way, he's complaining about it, by the way.
I'm a little chewy.
Oh, poor baby. 800-990-3776. Andy says, hey, Chew, crazy thought. The microwave doesn't need to be cleaned if the food is covered to begin with.
Yeah, but I got time.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, joins us next right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
On a Dude Thursday, the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the co-host of Wilde and Tausch, Jason Wilde, joins us. Alex Strofe in for Jen and Gabe, alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio running the show. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All good here, my man. Let's start here. I mean, it's we're getting back to business on a Sunday, right? I know we talked the other day. Your week was all screwed up last week from Thursday to Thursday. We're back to a normal week. Packers getting ready for Sunday Night Football in Seattle. You view this as a playoff preview, Jason? Is this a playoff preview coming up Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, maybe right now if the season ended today, this would be a playoff preview and the Packers would go right back to Seattle like they did in 2009 when they played Arizona in the regular season finale and then turned right around and went and played there again. And we all remember the fumble in overtime when Rodgers got his face mask pulled and the Cardinals won that game. So, yeah, theoretically it could be, but I guess I'm not really thinking of it that way as much as I'm thinking of it as let's find out a little more about how good this team is or isn't, because you know I don't think Seattle's a great team, but they're leading their division. They've got a good chance of making the playoffs. They are a very difficult place to play, and I want to see how this team bounces back after the way things turned out in Detroit.
Jason, are they going to be close to full strength? It seemed like a lot of guys practiced yesterday. And did Musgrave, did I see, practice as well?
Yeah, he did on a limited basis. They've opened up the 21-day window on him being designated to return from injured reserve, which, I think this is really good news. It's crazy to me, and let me back up because, yeah, they are, I was actually writing about this yesterday, this does not happen very often. Usually at this time of the year, injuries are piling up, just as the Detroit Lions. And instead, in a weird way, Packers are actually getting healthier. You know, Jair practiced in full, and I think they're getting their hopes up that against a pretty darn good wide receiving core, they may have their former all-pro corner back in the mix. Evan Williams practiced. He's still in the concussion protocol, but that's a quicker turnaround than we've seen from some other guys who have had concussions, including Romeo Doubs, who was a full participant in practice after missing the last two games with a concussion suffered against the 49ers. So Edgerrin Cooper practiced on a limited basis. So they are getting healthier. But the Musgrave piece is fascinating to me just because how crazy it's been. And I'm not saying that it's Chmura and Keith Jackson, but they since drafting those two guys, they barely have had any games where both of them were available and contributing. like last year, they started the season, they barely played Tucker Kraft. Like, they clearly didn't think that making the jump from South Dakota State to the NFL was one that he could make and play right away. So he had two catches for 5 yards in the first 8 games, which when you think about what he is now, is nuts. But Luke Musgrave was their guy. He played a huge share of the tight end snaps. Then Tucker Kraft emerges in that Chargers game, has that great hurdle down the sideline where he steps out of bounds. Otherwise, it looks like initially he scored a touchdown. And that's the same game where Luke Musgrave lacerates his kidney. So then he's out. Then during training camp, they start to get their hopes up about this tandem again. But I didn't think Luke Musgrave had a very good camp. He was really quiet. Meanwhile, Tucker Kraft is taking off like a rocket ship. And then 4 games into the season this year, there goes Luke Musgrave again on the injured reserve with this ankle injury that required surgery. So if they can have both of them productive and healthy, I think that just gives them another really interesting version of their offense, especially given how much two tight ends they've played of late.
Good insight from Jason Wilde with us here on Jen Gabe and Chewy. Sorry, Chewy, go ahead.
You don't see him going back to splitting time, though, right? Isn't Kraft their guy?
Yes, Kraft is their guy. But look, you know, I'm not. I also don't see Luke Musgrave being, and I say this with nothing but incredible affinity for this guy. He's not Jeff Thomason either. Like, no. I love the flying T, and JT was great. What a great dude, right? But
yeah, he is a great dude.
But would never lie about taking a sack like your other friends. You know, I think Luke Musgrave's going to play more than, say, Ben Sims or John Fitzpatrick. And I do think that they want to be able to play two tight ends. The key to this, of course, and you know, the unspoken part of this is Tucker Kraft moved past Luke Musgrave, not just because of his development as a pass catcher and a guy who will truck you once he has the ball in his hands, because he's become a much better blocker. It's the reason why I comped him to you, is that he is the far more well-rounded tight end who can do everything. And Luke Musgrave, I think somewhat to coach's frustration, has not taken the jump as a blocker. I don't know. And it's not like you can do enough stuff to get better at that while you're on IR after ankle surgery. So I doubt that he's made huge strides in the meantime as a blocker. But for them to be a truly, you know, two tight ends a lot type offense and expect and feel like they can do whatever they want on either side of the line of scrimmage with them, Luke Musgrave still has to get to be a better blocker, because that's what Tucker Kraft did.
What's the timeline on Musgrave? Obviously, the 21-day window is open, but is it going to be a couple weeks, I would imagine?
I would think it would, you know, it's not this week.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule out next week. I mean, again, I don't, you know, he tore a ligament in his left ankle. Dr. Anderson reattached it. They thought it was going to be a 2-month, you know, 8-week recovery. That's exactly what it was. The fact that he only did individual drills yesterday. So I don't think that they have any plans on him, you know, playing against the Seahawks. But I think, you know, with an extra day going into Monday night, maybe. Otherwise, I would think at the latest, they would like to have him back on the field for Minnesota on the 29th.
Yeah, at the end of the month. Gotcha. Jason Wilde with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You mentioned Jair. He was a full participant yesterday for Green Bay after missing, I think it's now 3 games in a row, and pretty much 4, right? Technically, he only played, what was
5.
It? Is it 5? Because
he
played a little bit in that Chicago game, right?
Right. So he hurt himself against Jacksonville. Didn't play against the Lions, did that 10-snap cameo after the bye week in Chicago, pulled himself back out, missed the next 3 games.
Got it. How important is he to how far the Packers can get this postseason?
Yeah, look, I've said this a bunch, and I don't want this statement to mitigate how valuable he is if he's healthy and playing well. But, you know, they've had to kind of learn what it's how to play without him, and they've gotten used to it now. So whatever they get from him, to me, is a great bonus. And look, you know, with Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett, who's still doing it at an advanced age, and DK Metcalf, the more cover guys you have available to you, the better. And the less, and I don't, this is going to sound mean-spirited, and it's not, because I actually really like Eric Stokes, and I don't know if it's possible. I mean, he's a ridiculous athlete, but the less you have to play Eric Stokes, the better at this point. Like, you know, Tim Patrick, who is a better receiver than he gets credit for the Lions, ate him up. Like, it doesn't help you if your third corner is getting whipped by their third receiver, and that's kind of what happened with him in Detroit. And so my point is while Jair may not be the guy that Tausch once touted for defensive player of the year, he is certainly still a very good cover guy, and your defense is better when he plays more and Eric Stokes plays less.
Jason, you alluded to it earlier. What was your take on the Favre-Gastineau dust-up?
Yeah, look, I mean, and I don't want to sound unappreciative, because Brett and I, for most of his career, we obviously had a bit of a dust-up after I criticized his leadership during the 05 season. But he and I had a really good working relationship. He's obviously been on our show a couple times, although not in a long time. We don't see eye to eye politically, but we've always had a good, but this really pisses me off. And I don't have an opinion very often, as you guys well know, but this is, I'm, and again, I don't expect everyone to view the world through the prism that I view it. But to me, this was a huge opportunity for him to say something where you actually took responsibility and you made things better. And instead, you know, I compared it to the Bo Callahan lying about the $100 bill in the back of the playbook in draft day, and then saying, and then the scout saying he's the only one to stick up for the lie. And for Favre, you know, in that game, and I know this was after you were done playing, but. Mm-hmm. The call was 93 blast, which, as you well know, is a run play. There is no RPO, keep it and throw it to the receiver on that play. It is a handoff. They are trying to run out the clock in a game they are winning, and he decides instead to gift wrap the sack for Michael Strahan. There is no, other than him lying about it, there is no debate. And
hold on, Jason. So it wasn't a boot. It wasn't 93 lead boot, no. Right?
No.
Oh,
I went back.
See, I thought it was.
I went back into our archives from the State Journal and looked up the story, and Earl Dotson told us after the game the play call. I can't remember if it was me or Oates or whoever asked him. He said the call was 93 blast. Okay, so that is,
yeah.
There is no bootleg attached to that. So
we do have a boot. We do have a boot off of that, though, Jason. I didn't know that the boot. I thought the boot was called.
It was not. And what?
Wow.
And here's what bothers,
okay.
And then we can move, and then we can stop. But what bothers me is,
yeah.
You're as a player, in my opinion, and I'm not saying it's like eighth grade girls basketball or whatever else I get involved in coaching. Your number one responsibility as a player is to your team and your teammates. It isn't to the guy across the line of scrimmage trying to break a record. And that offensive line went into that game hell-bent on saying, we're not letting this freaking guy get mm-hmm. the record against us. And they shut him down all day. All
That's
day.
Tausch.
He did not sniff Favre that day. And mm-hmm. Tausch was a second-year player at the time. And Tausch said yesterday, the only time in his career that a PR guy had to come and tell him, you need to calm down after the game. And so they were so angry. And to me, for all of this, Brett Favre, and it's crazy to me that 23 years after the fact we're talking about this, but because of the circumstances with that 30 for 30, I think it bears being talked about, and he bears criticism. Because to double down on Twitter over this makes me so mad. Because his opportunity was to say, I understand Mark Astro's disappointment. I didn't think about the unintended consequences that could occur here. And not only did I disrespect him and disrespect the game, but most importantly, I disrespected my offensive linemen who busted their asses to shut him down that day. I wish I had never done that, and I'm sorry. And of course, instead, he just stuck up for the lie. And that makes me mad.
Well, makes me mad, too. Because if I was Tausch, or if I was in there at tight end, I'd be...
Yeah, exactly.
I would not be happy one bit. I agree. I'm right there with you, Jason. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Interesting. Not shocked. Are you shocked? Buddy. Are you shocked,
no,
Jason?
Of course
are you shocked?
Not.
No, okay. Okay.
What, am I new here?
Yeah, no.
Jason, before we let you go, I got to know. When Gastineau said, hey, I'm going to get my sack back, I don't think that's the greatest introductory line.
Yeah, I wouldn't
line.
Use that phrasing. Yeah, no. A sack record. But he's not like a sympathetic figure here either.
No.
Like, he's a knob who didn't...
Yeah, he's a...
He didn't play the run. Like, you hear the other stuff in that clip. Like, let's just leave it at this. It's not... He's not in the Hall of Fame because the sack record was...
Correct.
I mean, that's something I say to my wife probably twice a year.
All right. Well, that's...
All right, guys. Take care. Be
yep,
good.
Good time to let Jason Wilde go. Yeah. Good Lord, Chew. Good Lord. Jason Wilde, listen to him right after us, 9 to noon, ESPN, Wisconsin. I don't even know what to do with that. All right, it's what I'm going to do with that.
Just laugh.
No, I'm going to get a break is what I'm going to do. We'll be back after this. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like... I just made that up, a catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen gave it to you on a Thursday morning. Alex Rove, Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you. Chew, you're really proud of what just happened at the end of the last segment, huh?
No, I'm not. I think...
I just heard that headset go down, and I was like, oh, this guy's cooking on a Thursday.
Well, I don't know if they caught me laughing coming back here, but I just tried pulling my cameras up back in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it says, temperature too low.
Yeah, 4 degrees right now in Milwaukee. Feels like 14, negative 14. It's a bundle up. So your camera literally won't work because it's so cold?
It just says temperature is too low. I've never seen that before. Camera will resume operation once temperature rises. Okay.
Well, it's getting up to it's getting up to 14 today, so maybe you'll be in luck.
I mean, I want to come home, but I...
When do you come home?
Sunday.
42 degrees on Sunday.
Oh, thank you. That's still going to be chilly-willy.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting right back up. So it's a couple days of cold. Not that I'm a meteorologist by any means, but we're getting back up here. 42 Sunday, 45 Monday. So
okay, I can win with that.
The bipolar nature of Mother Nature, if you will, here in the state of Wisconsin. But really cold today. I know Joshy really enjoyed his walk with his pup this morning, he said. He said he had a great time.
It was terrible. 3 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
Chewy, are you soft? Are you soft when it comes to cold weather?
Oh, yeah, I am now.
Well, I didn't even finish the sentence, and he answered yes. I didn't even get to the when it comes to cold weather part.
Okay. I used to love playing in it. I mean, my ideal temperature to play in would probably be like low 80s. Because you're loosey-goosey, you move.
That's the most anti-former Green Bay Packers sentence. Hey, I would have rather been a Miami Dolphin.
The only reason that we enjoyed playing with the cold is because we knew our opponents hated it more than we did.
Sure.
You know, it's not fun playing in the cold because you're stiff. Your footing is different, so you kind of have to roll into routes. You can't really stick it in the ground. You know, I always wanted to be a lineman. I always wanted to be included in that group, so I went with the no sleeves with everyone else, which was kind of stupid when you think. If I played today, I would be bundled up. I'd probably play in that coat that they wear on the sideline. I wouldn't take
jackets,
it off.
Yeah.
I'd just go and play with it. Be like, the hell with it. But yeah, I remember when we were playing in the NFC Championship game, we were playing Carolina, and, you know, they decided to be tough guys coming out in warm-ups with no sleeves on and stuff like that, and they all came out when the game started, they were wearing sleeves. Like, no way. So we knew we were going to win.
Bunch of frauds.
Except for Kevin Green, because he was R.I.P. Kevin Green, but he was a little nuts.
Yeah, he was.
He wanted to warm up. Listen to this, Alex. You know how teams warm up on either end? He wanted me to warm up with him.
Oh.
He's like, let's do some blocking drills. And I'm like, no, Kevin. You're the opponent, you psycho. You know?
You guys clearly had a relationship then.
Yeah, because I played against him when he was in Pittsburgh with Greg Lloyd. And then obviously he went to, who was the other end? I think Hardy. They had two because they ran the 3-4.
Okay.
Back in the day, they were one of the few teams that ran the 3-4, so they had two good pieces there. But, yeah, I've known Kevin for years and years. And he was, let me tell you what, he was a beast. A beast. Well-deserved being in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he was the toughest guy for me to block, followed by Tony Tolbert. You probably don't even know Tony Tolbert.
I don't.
Or who he played. Joshy?
No idea.
Tony Tolbert played for Dallas when they were really good, and his arms were so long that I couldn't get into his body.
Oh.
You know?
That's problematic.
Obviously, the guy, and I have long arms, but the guy with the longest arms usually wins because he gets his hands on you first, and then you're like a turtle. You can't get to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could never figure out how to block Tony Tolbert.
What made Kevin Green so difficult?
Stronger than an ox.
Okay.
And I was strong. I was strong. But he was like a stump, you know? So a stalemate against Kevin Green is, I would consider, a win.
Mm.
I win.
That difficult.
You know? Oh, he was tough. Great player.
I'm so thrown off by the idea of pregame, your opponent coming up to you and being like, hey, let's help each other warm up. That's some psycho behavior, but I respect the hell out of it.
Oh, he was psycho.
I respect it.
Yeah. I laughed. I'm like, Kevin, no. I'll see you on the field.
Was there
ever... And there was no trash talk involved with it. He's just like, he was a high energy intense.
No, he was being genuine, which I think is fascinating. Was there ever any pregame antics that got in your head, Chew? I imagine not a lot got to you, because we use the word psycho in an endearing way. You're a little bit psycho. You're wired differently. Was there ever any pregame
psycho
antics that got to you?
Just of my own doing. Like, I remember we were I had horrible Achilles at one point in time.
Okay.
And I remember in Carolina, this is crazy. I remember we were playing in Carolina, and it was warm. It was like 80-something degrees, and my Achilles were killing me. So I was screaming at Mike Sherman because my Achilles were hurting me. And I don't know why. And Mike Sherman took it like a champ because he was the tight ends coach. He wasn't the head coach.
Right.
And he's like, what's the matter with you? You're yelling at me because your Achilles hurts? And I actually had a pretty good game. I think I had, I don't know, 5 catches, 75, and a touchdown. Josh, you can fact check that. I think that was 97. Carolina. I actually caught a touchdown ball that Brett just threw incredibly hard. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? And he said, that ball wasn't meant for you. It was meant for Robert. And I snatched it out of the air and took it, I think, I don't know, 30 yards or something.
Whatever works, right? Whatever works.
Yeah.
Want to get to this before we get to a break, Chewy, because this is an interesting question from Jerry, and I've never asked you this. What was it like for Chewy to have to block Reggie in practice day after day? Because you're mentioning the toughest guys to block. Obviously, you matched up with Reggie quite a few times in practice. Impossible?
It was fine. No, it was fine because I knew how to block Reggie. And how do you block Reggie is you sit there and go, watch out, Reggie, 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 player coming on your knee. Hold on. Let me hold you up. Here. Hold up. Hold on. Hold on. You know, and that's and he loved it. So we called that we called it brotherhood because the two coaches on either side knew when we were talking to one another. So if I was to block someone who's a buddy and it's late in practice and camp sucks, I'd be like, hey, we're running a toss here. Let's just make it look good. Caught the brotherhood bleep. You know,
they want you to battle, so, and you're just like, hey, man.
We're always trying to skirt the system. Yeah, but they could tell. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, one of the wildest stories in all of sports is Bill Belichick to North Carolina. We get Chewy's take on that. Coming up next, more right ahead. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yes, Ben Milwaukee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Thursday. Alex Strove, Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio hanging with you this morning. I thought Homer did it best last night. The Homer Hour each weekday from 5 to 6, ESPN Milwaukee. This poll is terrific. Following the news, Bill Belichick, the, what is it, 8-time Super Bowl champion? The new head coach at the University of North Carolina. Homer pulled this yesterday, which is more surprising. Bill Belichick having a 24-year-old girlfriend or Bill Belichick becoming the head coach at North Carolina? Chewy, which one is more surprising?
That's a tough one.
I know. They're both crazy. I mean, he's 73 years old.
Hold on. 73. I mean, the math definitely doesn't match up there.
Yeah, that's 40, that's 49 years.
Seven.
That's 49 years.
I know, but he allowed to date, so 70. Let's just say.
Let's do some math. Half your age plus seven?
26, 66 plus. No. Does it work out? No, that's
no.
Wrong.
No, it doesn't.
I'm timesing it. Hold on. 3.
Yep. Show your
36
work.
Plus 7. So he's allowed to date a 43-year-old.
Well, he's allowed to date a 24-year-old, too, apparently.
Yeah, but math says 43.
Okay. Well, he's 19 years below said math.
How old? 24?
24, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she's going to help recruit.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, clearly, you know, he knows how to recruit the age group, so he's
okay,
good there.
There's two reasons.
Yeah.
Well, there's three reasons, actually. It's probably bored, ego, and he feels that he will get every 5-star recruit out there.
So is it right? That simple, though? Because you talked about it a little bit yesterday when we talked about the idea of this with Adam Schefter, and if you missed any of that appearance, find it, Wisconsin On Demand, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. This is fascinating to me. Your son has been in collegiate football for what, like a decade as a coach?
8 years.
Yeah, but he obviously played at Michigan State, right? So
sure.
Your son has a really good idea of how this new college landscape works.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is walking into a wild environment with NIL and transfer portal. I mean, this is a fascinating move, and you're right. Ego certainly plays a role. And the idea that he thinks he's going to get all these 5-star recruits certainly plays a role. Luke Fickell thought that too, Chew, and that's not working out very well at Wisconsin. So how do you think this is going to work? It's a 3-year, $30 million deal for Bill Belichick, the 8-time Super Bowl champion.
I don't think it's about the money. You think it's about the money? He should have.
No. I was just saying what the deal was.
How do I think it's going to work?
Yeah.
Well, obviously he's going to delegate.
Yeah, for sure.
And the rules for head coaches have changed. They can't be as involved in recruiting as they were, say, when I was being recruited or even 20 years ago or so. So he's going to delegate, probably have a lot of assistants that want to coach for him. He'll put together a good staff. And I think he'll do pretty good. I mean, the guy's a great coach. He's a great coach. He probably just got a little bored and it got a little lackadaisical, and I don't know if he put in the hours. But if he hires, you know, good assistants underneath him, he really doesn't have to do that much. Because in college, here's the difference in college, Alex, compared to the pros. In the pros, everybody's good. The bad players are good. In college, what do you have? 3-4 guys on a team that are elite? Maybe not even that.
Not even that.
So the matchups are much easier. So if you have a stud receiver and a stud running back and an okay core, you can put them in position to make play. A lot like Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Colorado, they just have a handful of guys, probably 2 guys that are outstanding and
two.
They win.
Two.
So he probably figures if I can get five difference making players, he's smart enough. Especially in the ACC, to compete and maybe win that conference.
Yeah,
and then get into the playoffs.
I'm curious for you. Do you want to see it work or do you want to see it crumble at UNC?
I like Bill. Bill was the D coordinator when we played the Patriots in Super Bowl 31.
Yep.
I just got to know him through Frankie because Frankie was drafted. No, he was drafted by Cleveland, and then he went to the Giants. And every time we play with Bill was on the field, him and Parcells would go, "Hey, Frankie boy!" They loved him. Everyone loves Frank. So that's, yeah, I want to see him succeed. I like Bill. He's a good dude.
Got it. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who does he want to see in the playoffs more? Packers or the Vikings? Do the Packers need to win out for you to think they're a Super Bowl caliber team? All still ahead. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, hour 2 after this, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.